You're listening to Bob Bleon and the Truth of It All.
Hey, good day, everyone. Hope you're doing well on this Tuesday, April the 2nd, 2024. Yeah, just wanted to do a quick live here this morning, talk about a few things. I'm back home now, and it's good to be back. Dane and I spent the Easter weekend and a good part of last week in Peace River, taking care of a few things there and spending time with family. It was a great week, actually, and lots going on, not only in Alberta, Canada, but all around the world. And I just wanted to talk about that today, and also to make another declaration that I'm going to try to cut sugar out of my diet again. It got back in, and especially over the holidays here. And to tell you what, once you're off sugar and you go back on it, wow, it really kicks you in the butt. My energy levels and anyway, sleeping, whatnot, but I've made my mind up yesterday, and that's enough of that. So yesterday I attended the Lloyd Minister Axe the Tax rally yesterday. Sorry, I got to laugh when I say that slogan every time, and I'll get to that in a bit. It was good to be there. Rather than doing a typical speech, we had a round circle discussion, and it was good. It was heavy. It was heavier than normal. I started talking about the fact that child sexual predators are being protected here in Alberta, and you know, Tony and Chris still being in remand and everything else going on. And I made the comment that it's challenging for me to be full-on passionate about this latest movement here, and especially understanding that's a movement that's actually inspired by the Conservative Party. That's their slogan, Axe the Tax. And just this morning I was watching another rally where Poilievre was at, and it's resonating, it's working, people are biting at that, so it is what it is. But like I said, I presented much of the information that I share, and we were able to have some good back and forth conversations and more moments of understanding for me. And it's, again, it's not judgment. It's just pointing out the situation that a lot of people are just caught up in this political theater and they're looking for hope. And I understand that. But the question was asked, you know, once quite a few people wrap their head around the fact that it doesn't matter if it's Poilievre or Trudeau, Singh government in power, that nothing will change. And typical question is, well, what's your solution? Well, again, the solution is getting more people grounded in the truth so people won't fall for this deception, so we can hold these betrayers accountable today. And I am not deviating from that, because I don't see any other way right now. What are we going to do? Nothing. And voting in another puppet is going to do nothing, and it'll continue to do nothing. So good conversations, but understanding also that in myself anyway, this is going to be a long, long road, and, you know, a lifetime and then some, possibly, of what's happening to us. And what I shared this morning, that book, Do Not Leave Quietly, is really, really resonating with me. And understanding that above all else, this is a spiritual war we're in. And I said it yesterday many times in different conversations yesterday. It wasn't just the round circle discussion we had. It was, I had quite a few conversations outside of that. And coming to, I'm here, I guess, already understanding that without God, without staying grounded in the teachings of Jesus Christ and advocating for people, defending people, protecting people, rebuilding our moral compass, not only in Alberta or Canada, but all around the world. Until we can get to a moment of that where we have a good number of people that are grounded in that, then nothing's going to change. And there's going to be, unfortunately, a lot of things are going to have to play out in more political theater, another round of political theater, and more to come, before we get to that moment of mass understanding and understanding of exactly what we're going through here. So, but anyways, how I see it now, I see this conservative axe to tax movement as being an effective political strategy. And I don't say that in a good way. Pierre is going to come out to be the hero, and, you know, he's fighting against Trudeau. And where I stand, there's sinister intent in that, obviously, because they're deflecting away from key issues that are not only affecting us today and people being abused today, but it's key issues that are going to bring more mechanisms of control for the establishment. I mentioned it yesterday, and that's what I opened the conversation with, was the WHO International Treaty Amendment is coming next month. It's right around the corner. And I went into detail yesterday of how the Alberta Public Health Act stands today, what this conservative Alberta government has done through the COVID lockdowns, and that tyranny is setting the table for the WHO to take over our province. And it's coming across Canada also. It's not just limited to Alberta. I think a lot of people got it yesterday when I kept on repeating that Alberta is ground zero, and it has been ground zero. Because if Alberta can fall, and if Albertans can fall to political deception, then certainly it's going to work across Canada. And it's not only, I tried to focus on this more, is it's not just conservatives falling for political theater, it's the left-leaning people also that are prone to that. So what else is coming other than the treaty amendment? And a lot of people were shocked yesterday to understand that it was already here, word for word, what we lived through. And basically what the establishment has done is recognize the shortcomings. They closed the loopholes, and now the next time, and there will be a next time, there's no need to go through parliaments or legislatures. It's already there. And Daniel Smith, I was really impressed yesterday. A lot of people were speaking up and adding to the conversation. One person said, well, yeah, that's what Daniel Smith said. So it was after the Romaine ruling where it made it appear that there was a win, but there was none. The Romaine ruling was very clear in Alberta last year, and that was a Queen's Court. So that's the highest court, and that sets precedent across Canada that under a pandemic, it should have been the chief medical officer of health giving the orders and not the government. But the orders themselves were ruled to be constitutionally binding, that they didn't breach anything to do with the Constitution. And so that's how it stands. And then somebody said yesterday that, yeah, Daniel Smith referenced that. And she did. And that's how it is right now. And then they added in January of this year, 2024, just a couple months ago, the COVID-19 vaccines to the vaccination schedule for children and babies 6 months and older. And as the order reads today, health practitioners giving vaccines are deemed to be on the vaccine schedule and mandatory by the chief medical officer of health must be given. So there's that. The national digital ID is still coming. They're attaching the healthcare information to that now in different provinces. Guaranteed basic income's on its way. The censorship laws, absolute fascist censorship laws coming not only in Bill 63, C-63 of the Liberals, but also the Conservatives bringing a bill forward, and it's coming both sides, this, and it's just absolutely iron-fisted censorship. And then, there's the other issues going on, and just keep in mind that all that stuff is passing through the House of Commons. There's no opposition to that. That's what I talk about when I talk about uniparties. uniparties, unigovernments, governments with no opposition. They play political theater that make it look like they're opposing one another, but they don't. Alberta political prisoners remain in prison for well over 2 years now, Tony and Chris, and then even what happened to Chris Lysak and Jerry Morin was, they didn't have their lawful and due process by any stretch of the imagination, but anyways. COVID vaccines continue, as I said. And then what really set me off yesterday and kind of put the heaviness in the conversation was when I started talking about the fact that pedophiles are being protected in Alberta and beyond. And being, you know, on the front line of that, I'll say, and having those conversations with parents and grandparents that are, their children are being abused in that, it is, it really makes me angry, and it should make us all angry for what's happening there. And we all have a duty to, no matter how hard that conversation is, we need to grab the bull by the horns and wrestle that thing down to the ground. That's a beast. You know, the fact that Alberta Health Services and Children's Family Services and the Crown Prosecution and the justice system and police and independent and mainstream media are also protecting pedophiles. There's no other way to say it. And then the government and opposition here in Alberta, UCP and NDP both. But hey, everybody's getting behind this Conservative Party's axe to tax uprising, and it's catching on. Now I see the police are showing up on Highway 21 west of Calgary. That doesn't shock me. Shouldn't shock anybody, really. And that's, in my opinion, part of the theater, this Pulia versus Trudeau. It'll be, how dare you, Trudeau, shut down peaceful Canadian protest, their right to protest. Well, where was Pierre Pulia when the COVID tyranny was being opposed? Where was he? So now they've learned a lesson. They're trying to stay ahead of this illusion that they're an actual opposition to carbon taxes. And they certainly won't get hurt. The politicians certainly won't. They're sitting back in the weeds just smiling as this plays out. It's Canadians doing the bidding of those politicians that are going to end up getting hurt. And I see politicians puppeteering many in the freedom movement. And yesterday was a good example of that, just a good conversation of people waking up to that. I asked the question, so, you know, what do you think the win of this movement will be? And it was a good response, honest response. Well, I'm hoping that they'll repeal this. And then as they were saying it, the kind of the look of dread or reality came across their face, and they understand. But whether they can stay grounded in that or not, we'll see. But anyways, that's on their shoulders and in their hearts and minds. But when you are grounded in the truth, when you understand that all of them brought it here, Liberals, NDP, Bloc, Conservatives, it doesn't matter what leader is in power, what government is in power, the Conservatives, the Liberals, NDP coalition, Trudeau or Poilievre, those two are just puppets, and it really doesn't matter. I went into some detail yesterday of the fact that if they were serious today, there is a great foundation on the table for a strong constitutional challenge, especially with a Liberal and a NDP provincial government being at the table, along with the Conservatives. But, you know, they won't. They won't take that road because that just exposes the truth, and that's why they're playing this political theater, and that's why Jason Kenney, you know, played the theater of opposing carbon taxes. He knew damn well that one province on its own accord cannot change that. It needs to be 7 of 10 provinces equaling 50% of the Canadian population plus one Canadian. And right now, they're sitting at 8 of 10 provinces equaling 63% of the population. A very strong foundation for a constitutional challenge, but they won't. And I went into information there, like Leslyn Lewis says, she ran for the Conservative Party as a leader. She endorses the Paris Climate Accord. She's very beholden to that, and referenced one of the mechanisms to use in bringing forward so-called green energy is carbon taxes, and to subsidize the so-called green energy. She was, Leslyn Lewis was just as recently as 2019, one of the leaders of an Ontario foundation, and they were giving away Ontario taxpayer money, a lot of money, to many climate change alarmist organizations. One of them was the Tides Foundation, who did a very sinister job against Alberta's oil sands and worked for years against our oil sands in Alberta here. And they shut down a lot of prosperity and opportunity in that, pipelines included. So Leslyn Lewis in 2019, in 1 month alone, they gave she gave and that organization gave $200,000 of Ontario taxpayer money to the Tides Foundation. And she openly says it and wrote it in her articles that she wants to see the end of oil and gas and the transition to so-called green energy. She's right there. Then there's Scott Moe. Last week in the Parliament, in the committee meetings, he was asked the question whether he supports the Paris Climate Change Accord, and his response was yes. Yes, he did. And then, of course, there's Daniel Smith in Alberta here, who, along with the United Conservative government, attended the COP28 meeting, annual climate change meeting, just a couple months ago. And they're supporting and promoting net zero and carbon capture and yada, yada, yada. And she made a very, very clear statement not long ago that when it comes to climate change, she's done a complete 180 and believes that Alberta can get to net zero faster than anyone anywhere else. So the whole nonsense of axe the tax is absolute political theater. And somebody said that Pierre is a common sense conservative, just absolutely parroted what they're saying at these rallies. This individual attended the Edmonton Pulliev and Smith event last week and said, Bob, Pierre's a common sense Canadian and he grew up in Alberta. So this is Pierre's history. He graduated from the UofC, University of Calgary, with a Bachelor of Arts degree. He became, right after he graduated, a political staffer for the Conservative establishment, and then became an MP at the age of 25. And then he mentored under Harper and many ministers as shadow ministers. So he just follows around ministers, learning key portfolios. He began that in 2007. And then he became Harper's parliamentary secretary, same. He's just studying under Harper. And then a minister of government at the age of 34. So Pierre is literally a lifetime politician, definitely not a grassroots common sense Canadian. He's, I would say he's a better actor than Trudeau. Danielle Smith is a great actress, and I'll give them that. But at the end of the day, they don't hold any power as individuals. So that's the theater that is frustrating for me also, is pointing the finger at one politician as if there's not 337 more MPs in the Canadian Parliament or 86 more MLAs in the Alberta legislature that are just, as I say, sitting back in the weeds, you know, getting off nice and easy as these little slogans are working well and they're rallying up a lot of Canadians. And anyways, that's what I see. There's so much theater going on. I could talk about that. I guess one of the tough ones today for me to watch, and I made a mistake and I bit my tongue and I was silent for far too long. I put out a few things, but not nearly enough. The Gaza genocide in Palestine. As I said in my article this morning, another article I shared, we are being lied to in Canada and Western democracies by the media. The media is bought and paid for. And I'll just say it this way, the deep state owns the media. So they will bend the truth as much as they like. And that's not, you know, what's happening over there is not what people think. I mean, the divide and conquer tactics is what I'm seeing here in Canada now. So Trudeau supports the Palestinians. Poilievre supports Israel. And then so conservative supporters support the Israel and the liberals support the Palestinians. But at the end of the day, Trudeau could care less. The liberals and the conservatives could give a crap about people. They could care less. This is all theater. Netanyahu and Poilievre and Trudeau, they're all on the same side, the bad guys. That's the side they're on. It's unbelievable. And so then both the liberals and conservatives support the Ukraine regime. And that is another deep state fascist organization. That's what they are. Those aren't the good guys for what they've done over there. So this political theater, it really is... what they're capable of with it, the deception in that is horrifying. And I said it in my one of my posts this morning, like, as if God or Jesus Christ would ever condone the murder, the mass murder, the genocide, the rape, the abuse of men, women, and children, as if they would ever condone that. And, you know, people are very quick to point out the atrocities and the misconceptions going on across the world when it's happening right out of our back doors here. And they'll turn a blind eye to that because it's too hard to watch. But you have to address it out your back door. Remove the beam from your eye. Check yourself in that. So what is the hope? People were searching for hope yesterday after our heavy conversation. It's in people waking up. And it is great to see so many people, more people waking up, seeing through the lies and propaganda and the deception. It really is. And that's where I am really blessed to be on the front line and talk to people and hear these, the awakenings of that. And the solution, again, is... until enough men and women wake up to those lies and deception, it's going to continue to be a long road. And we're going to go through these perpetual political theater cycles. But until enough people wake up and are willing to hold accountable the entire establishment, that's it. That's all. Somebody mentioned, a violent thing yesterday, and that's not the answer either. Same answer. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Who are you going to fight against right now? There's a lot of people sleeping. I know it's hard, and I understand that anger, obviously. But our first duty is taking this information, this truth, and passing it along. Keep passing it along. Get grounded in it. Get well-versed in it. That's what I said yesterday. If I could do this, anybody can do this. And just yesterday, I had a great conversation with somebody that he was talking to somebody who was inspired to start doing the same public speaking and sharing this. And that's what needs to happen. And have these conversations in your day-to-day lives everywhere you go. Until enough of us start defending ourselves, start there. Start defending your families. Start defending one another. And one another's children also. It was another comment yesterday that should we pull back and just focus on our own children? The answer is no. The answer is we need to focus on all children. Because if everybody falls back and focuses on their own family, we go away silently, then they win. That's how they win. They win when we regress back to silence. So, you know, what I said with this Axe the Carbon Tax movement, these people are passionate people, and they're willing to stand up, and they're willing to put themselves on the line, even though, you know, some of them know they're being used, some of them don't, but they're still going out there and advocating for their friends and neighbors, not only for themselves, because there's a lot of people that don't have the means to do that. So I'm not begrudging them for what they're doing. I'm just urging a word of caution to be careful in that advocacy, to understand that, you know, don't be used. When you have moments of having opportunity to talk to people in those rallies, wherever they may be, start talking about how it's both sides, conservatives and liberals, that are doing this, NDP and Bloc. Don't let Poilievre get away with this so easily that he's going to hijack this movement. So anyways, that's all I wanted to say. I am looking forward to the spring and summer, and I'm going to say that I'm going to spend more time this spring and summer catching up with family. We still haven't had an opportunity to properly do that and have some more family get-togethers. So we're going to do that locally. And then we're building a garage. So that's a big project, rebuilding our garage. And then I'm planning a couple fishing trips to the West Coast. So I'm really looking forward to that. And it's not going to be on my boat for the first time in years. It's going to be on friends' boats, and I really am looking forward to those trips. And then we have a wedding in BC, so we're looking forward to that. And I am going to focus as much time as possible advocating for people that are being abused, and specifically children, and the conversation of the sexual predation. And that's going to be my main focus. I'm not going to have time to attend many of these rallies. I just won't have time for that. But anyways, yeah, and just keep your head on a swivel. Don't let the politicians use you, and open your hearts and minds, and the deception will fall. So I'm not stopping, and I'll continue staying grounded in God's guidance and doing my best, following the teachings of Jesus Christ and balancing the righteous anger that we must all hold in our hearts, and advocating for others that are being abused. Whether that's men, women, or children, there should be righteous anger there. So I'll leave you with that, and hope you all have a great week. Peace to you all, and God bless you. Thank you.